Amen. And that's kind of an entry point here. I'd say this is, you know, this subject matter that we're sort of dealing with as we sort of talk about the spiritual gifts this morning, you know, and continue on with this subject. Very important. At the end of the day, I believe that the body is supposed to be a tool for the Lord on earth. I believe that the gospel is not just words. I believe it's actions. I believe that there's an intersection of heaven and earth. I believe that we should walk in a liminal space. I love that word. Look it up, you know, liminal. It means a border. It means like sort of a crossover. And that we as Christians should be walking out as a liminal space, as a crossover between heaven and earth. That where you go, something of the kingdom should come with you. Something of the kingdom should affect those around you. And it's not my... We got a lot of information out last week. And I felt like that was important. And as I was chatting... With Nikki this week, we kind of said, look, there's a few things that we just want to chat through to continue on this subject matter. Because I don't, when we talk about the spiritual gifts, my intention is not just to sort of tick off a few boxes. Okay, have we talked about prophecy? Tick. Have we talked about tongues? Tick. Have we talked about healing? Tick. You know, now we can get on, and if the body of Christ does something with that, praise the Lord. If they don't, who cares? Well, I care. Because I think God cares. And I think the church has shifted into this season, maybe over a couple centuries, where we've gotten obsessed with a message and denied the power. Now here's the thing. I love the message, guys. The message is why I'm going to heaven. Are you tracking with me? When I finally realized that I could have peace with God, that I could be reconciled to God through the shed blood of his son on the cross, that's a beautiful thing to me. But now the Bible calls you and me ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a foreign national living in a different country there to bring the flavor and culture of their country, to represent their country in the foreign land. And we're to be ambassadors, not of a country, but of Christ. So we're just going to, and it's kind of appropriate this morning that we've got some of Kirstie's family with us, because for many of us, this is the conundrum that we struggle to balance, isn't it? I mean, can anybody say amen to that? It's like, I believe God, you know, all of us, I have no doubt, believe that God can heal anyone like that. The question that we struggle with is, why is this not being accomplished? And notice, I didn't say, why doesn't he? And some of you said, well, because you should say, why doesn't she? No, we're not going there. Okay. I didn't say, why doesn't he? I'm, you know, because I don't believe, now I'm going to risk offending people. That would be so unlike me. Because I don't believe that the onus lies on him. So the question is why doesn't it happen? And one of the things that Nikki and I were talking about this week is that this idea that it's like we both have a little bit of an obsession with healing, and we want to see more of it. We both experience some of it, but we want to see more of it. And in pursuing that, we've read biographies about mighty men and women of God. You know, men like D.L. Moody, men like Randy Clark, men like... Wigglesworth, who said that? That's a good shout right there. Women like Amy Simple McPherson. Do you know anything about her? She was Catherine Kuhlman. You know, there's people out there that have these amazing ministries. But as you read their biographies, as you read in their autobiographies and what they say about themselves, I think it was Wigglesworth who was saying, and Randy Clark, both of them had said they had hundreds of failures before they saw their first breakthrough in healing. Now, these are people who are known for healing. Okay, guys, all of them said hundreds, plural, not like 100, which I might be able to live with, but hundreds of failures. Now, quick question, because I was thinking about this week. How many of you out there would you know, you'd say like, okay, hundreds, that's exact. Like, how many of you would, after three times, you're like, I'm done? And I was thinking, like, some of the great people of faith within the congregation, we might give God a dozen, right? Maybe a baker's dozen, 13, you know. But after that 13th time, if it doesn't, forget it. But there's people who have kept their shoulder pressing on that door, if you will, by faith to say, I'm not stopping until I break through. So effectively, I wanted to share just a few things, and Nikki promised she'd get up and give me a hand. But you know, I want to remind us of that sort of that quote that I brought from Jack Hayford last week. Jack Hayford, another man who he had the well-known church back in the 70s and 80s that's still going today called the Church on the Way, and you know, he used that quote where he said, "Are you going to live in the river, or just know the map of where the river was? Are you going to live in the river, or are you just going to spend your life sort of romanticizing over a map of where you could go?" And it's like, I want to get in the river. So I Nikki, why don't you come on up? We're going to just sort of chat briefly about some of what there's sort of two things I wanted to touch on this morning, and our intention is not to be long here, but was to kind of jump in and just talk a little bit about, well, look, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
Outstanding. Look, so what scripturally, I think we talked about some of these things last week, but scripturally, what are some things that, because I don't want to just sit here and like make this stuff up out of my mind. I want to have the solid foundation of the Word of God to back me up. So what is it? I mean, if the Lord said, you know what, Nikki, if let's say it wasn't the Lord, what if you just decided that you wanted to fly? Would you have a scriptural backing for that? Probably not. Okay, it'd be cool. Maybe it's possible. But you wouldn't have really a scriptural backing for that. But if the Lord said, I want you to walk on water,
I'd give it a go.
Would you have a scriptural backing for that? You know, and so it's the same thing with healing. We want to know that we're on the foundation of the Word. So what are some of those areas of scripture that have kind of spoken to you to give you that push to seek for these things?
Okay, I have two favorites. John 14:12. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. That really tells me that.
And what scripture was that again?
Yeah, it was John 14:12.
Okay.
Yep. And that's about the Holy Spirit being within us and being able to do the things that God, Jesus did. And another favorite I've got is, again, in the book of John 15:5, I think it is. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear great fruit, because without me you can do nothing.
Wow.
And that just really reminds me that healing is from Jesus. It's from God. It's all about him. And all glory goes to him. And also the necessity to abide in him so that he can work through us.
Yeah, talk to me about abiding. What does that mean to you? I think that's one of those words. It's kind of like one of those old English words, like, you know, people don't use that word with me a lot. How was your day? Well, I abided, you know. So give us some background.
Well, as far as possible, I believe that we should be following the Ten Commandments and following the ways of Jesus. And if we're not, we're struggling with some of those areas, that we repent with Christ. We always have his forgiveness, but we've got to remember to bring it to the Lord. And step out, you know, share the gospel, and we'll try and walk a little in the way that Jesus did. It's a pretty...
So in your heart, it has to do with sort of following what Jesus actually says.
Yes.
Not just being saved, but actually pursuing or following
That's
what he
right.
said. Because it's like, for me, I've always felt the context of that is this idea of a branch being attached to a root that it's getting nourishment from.
Absolutely.
And then bringing fruit out of. So it's like somehow having an attachment. And part of that attachment is obedience, but part of that attachment is proximity, you know, and just getting your nourishment from that. Mm.
What about you? Have you got any good scriptures you like?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I've got a few. So we'll just start in Genesis 1:1 and work our whole way through. No, I'm just kidding. A couple that really jumped out at me. One I think is pretty obvious. The other is maybe a little bit obscure. The obvious one is, I think, the foundation. Man, the foundation stone, the cornerstone that we base healing upon. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24, and this is just a memory verse that you have to have. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Praise the Lord. Jesus bore our sins. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And if it ended there, I'd be happy. But it goes on and it says, by his wounds, or by his stripes in some interpretations, you have been healed. So he bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, but also by his wounds we are healed. So here's the thing. Some people will criticize and say, well, you can't equate healing with the atonement. And I'm like, well, if it's not equated with the atonement, it's real close.
That's right. That's what our communion's about.
Amen. Too. Amen. Then those two things are there. Salvation and healing seem to go hand in hand with the Lord. So for whatever reason, Jesus, why is my mom calling me? Owen, will you just grab that and talk? Call her back. Just ask mom to help you. That's random. So we have these scriptures that we sort of rest our faith upon. But the thought I had is like, Jesus, I have no problem. I mean, how many of you? I want you to sort of get to this place with me. How many of you struggle to believe that Jesus Christ hanging on the cross died for your sins? I think the majority of us who are born again are like, dude, I have no problem with that. Jesus dying on a cross, being crucified, that gave me the ability to have my sins forgiven. Okay. Now, can we take one step further down that progression? How many of you struggle to believe that because Jesus was striped, remember, he was scourged, and that act was there for our healing? Do we have the same ability to believe by faith that, man, my sins are forgiven because Jesus hung on the cross, but because he was striped, I can be healed? So that's a portion of scripture that, man, has just always really just spoken to me and given me the foundation, you know, for Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. There's so many others in the Old Testament. That's where we get that name, for those of you who don't know. That's the Old Testament name of Jehovah God with regard... The combination, let's see, give her a call there. That's the name of God that he was given in the Old Testament to say. It means God the healer. Okay. The other portion of scripture might be kind of funny because sometimes I think we get so caught up in trying to say, man, I want to make sure I get the actions right. I want to make sure I get the words right. I want to make sure that, you know, have you ever seen, like, there's people who will pray for people who heal, and they'll, like, stamp their foot when they sort of pray for someone. I'm like, okay. I need to stamp my foot to make sure. Or they'll, like, nah, or, you know, they have some words. Or if you've ever been around Ricky Ryan, you know, he'll just come in and be like, shun-na-na-na-na, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, maybe that's the way I need to do it. And I get so caught up in sort of the actions I'm doing, and I 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm just going to commend this chapter to you. 2 Kings chapter 5, write it down and check it out sometime, because it's this weird little story. There's this guy, Naaman, and he's the commander of the army of the king of Syria, and he was a great man, and he has a lot of favor from the king. Now tradition tells us he's the one who shot Saul. Are you with me? So remember, they said some guy drew his bow back at random and killed Saul. What's that? Was it the king? Oh, I think it was. Okay. So, but this act gets him favor, okay? And he becomes a general. And at some point, he's taken a Hebrew girl slave, as a slave. And I don't know. I think if I got taken as a slave, I'd be pretty upset. But somehow, this gal begins to think of him as someone she cares about. You know, not romantically, but familially. And in doing so, she ends up saying, because this guy, name it, he's a leper. He's got leprosy. And she goes, basically says, man, you know, there's prophets in my country who could heal this guy. And she sort of goes to him and says, hey, you need to go and get healed from this guy. So the guy shows up to the king of Israel with a letter from the king of Syria and says, hey, I understand that there's prophets here who can heal me. And the king of Israel panics. Can anybody say amen to that? Somebody shows up, somebody from your overseer, you know, somebody from the people who are over you shows up with a letter and says, you need to heal this guy of leprosy. Yeah. And the king freaks out and tears his clothes. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. Boom! Dude, talk about a mic drop moment. He's like, hey, man, why are you panicking? Send him to me. I'll take care of him. I want that to be a send church, amen? Hey, Jacinda, why are you panicking? You know, send him to me. We'll take care of him. And sure enough, sure enough, Elisha says to Naaman, hey, go down into the Jordan River and dunk yourself 7 times. And Naaman goes, what? I don't know if you've ever been to the Jordan River. The Jordan Mankey Creek is probably what they should call it, okay? And basically, that's what Naaman says. He goes, dude, in my country, we got rivers like the Tongariro that are just amazing compared to this little Mankey Creek you have. What do you mean you want me to go down there? And his slave girl says, hey, man, if he told you to, like, slay an army, would you have done it? And he's like, of course. And he's like, so why don't you just go down and dip in the water? And he does, and what happens? He gets healed. And there's this point where it says his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And basically, Naaman goes, in verse 17, Naaman said, he wants to continue to serve God. And here's the point I want you guys to take with you today. He kind of goes, I want to continue to serve God in my country. Now, this is a guy who comes from an abjectly pagan background. Can anyone say amen? No, don't say, you know. And ultimately, he asks Elijah, he says, I want 2 mule loads of earth. Because from now on, your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. In this manner, may the servant of the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, he said, basically, I want to have earth from Israel that I'm worshiping upon. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, let me see if I get this straight. Guys, think about this. Remember, we're so worried about getting things right. We're so worried about making sure we worship God and do the exact right things. This guy says, hey, I want some earth from Israel to bring into my pagan temple so that I make sure I'm worshiping the God of Israel, Jehovah God, would I sacrifice. Now, what would your answer to this guy be? I'd probably be like, come out of him, you know. I would be like, what are you doing? And instead, Elijah, verse 19, says to him, fill your boots, son. He says, go in peace. Do what the Lord's put in your heart. And I think that one of the things that I like to bear in mind when it comes to things like healing is God's more interested at meeting me where I'm at.
Totally. I believe we can find our own way. Yeah.
Then getting it absolutely right.
Just giving it a go is better than not doing anything.
So it's like if you're so concerned that I need to do these things for God in the exact perfect way, I really feel that the heart of Father God is to meet us where we're at, to meet us where our heart is at. Now, here's the thing. Will he leave us there?
No, he won't.
No, but he's willing for us to start there. So scripture, yes, we love these places, but just to sort of finish it off today, what are some experiences you've had with healing? Because I think that sometimes those stories, you know, we see the practical outworking of healing in scripture. We see it Old Testament, we see it New Testament, we see it in the history of the church. But what about your testimony? What about some things that maybe one or two things that you've seen?
Okay, I've seen healings through my massage and healing work, through Connect, our women's group, healings there and healings here at church. Some that spring to mind is a woman with really violent MS tremors, you know, completely. Okay. And as soon as I laid my hands on her and started talking to Jesus, they just completely stopped. And now they've been reduced, so she just tremors slightly. Night terrors in children going away.
Yeah.
Migraines, broken hearts at Connect. Gosh, there's all kinds of things.
So there's like a wholeness that God wants to bring, not just physical healing, but sometimes there's
absolutely
things.
No,
okay, so with that said, there's two things I want to address there. You made the point that, man, her tremors were greatly reduced. Mm. Now, I've experienced this as well. We were talking to someone this morning where sometimes we'll have those healings and they'll get to like 70, 80% healed.
Yeah.
Do you experience that?
Yeah,
that's a weird one, eh?
Yeah, and then people can be quite satisfied with that.
Yeah.
And I could go, it's okay, I've done enough, but I think it's really worth pushing
through.
Yeah,
I'm like 80%. That's like a B.
Yeah, come back in and let's do
like,
some more.
Good.
Let's have another go.
Yeah. So you don't just stop there.
No.
Other part of scripture that I remember.
Yeah.
So Jesus prays for this guy who's blind and his eyes open.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, and I love this because Jesus isn't like, okay, well, that's good enough. That's like 70%. He asks the guy, he says, how you doing?
Yeah.
And the guy say, I see men walking, but they're like trees.
Yes.
And so Jesus is like, well, dude, you were blind like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's good enough.
You should be thankful. But instead, Jesus, guys, Jesus, prays for him again.
Yes.
And the guy's like, oh, yeah, golden, perfect.
Yeah. And sometimes I believe healing does take a period of time. It's not all miracles. It
doesn't
just
always happen. Just in that case right there, sometimes it does.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes it may take a bit longer than a few times.
So we also sort of have acknowledged this idea of unbelief.
Mm, yeah.
That can be a factor as well. And I'm not going to say if it's the prayer or the prayee, but unbelief can be a factor.
Mm. I think the more that we step out and do it and start to see healings take place.
That definitely mitigates. Is there other ways to mitigate unbelief? Maybe there's somebody who's had a revelation around that lately. Unbelief. Hold on. What, Lord? Oh, Amy. Praise the Lord. Maybe you could come up and just share briefly. We'd let you sit down, but you'd be way shorter than us. So. I'll move my lips.
So,
Mrs. Mufarimbo.
I had a revelation about healing.
Close to him.
A little while ago, actually, before the wedding. And I was asking God the same thing, like, how come it happens sometimes and other times it doesn't happen? And he took me to the story in the Bible about where the disciples failed for the first time. So up until this point, they had laid
hands. So these are guys who have been like hanging out with Jesus.
Yeah, and laying hands and healing every single time it had worked. And then this particular time was the first time that it didn't. And it was the boy that was having convulsions.
Mm.
And so they did it and it didn't work. And Jesus kind of said to the, I don't know the exact words, but he kind of addressed the unbelief and he was like,
He wasn't happy either.
No,
right?
He was like, oh, you unbelievers, how long must I show you and labor with you? And, you know, he was like,
that's a growling.
Get it? No. So obviously unbelief had something to do with it because that's what he was saying. And then Jesus went and healed the boy. And then after that, the disciples went back and said to him, why? Like, they're asking him again, how come it didn't work?
Yeah.
And he said, this type only comes out with prayer and fasting. And for such a long time, I thought in the story that Jesus was talking about that illness or
that demon
or the convulsions. But he was actually, he was actually addressing the unbelief in the disciples. And he was saying to them, your unbelief will only come out with prayer and fasting.
Ooh.
So that blew my mind.
Don't drop the mic. Don't drop, but that's a mic drop moment.
That blew my mind. I'm like, this is a game changer because you know, prayer and fasting, starving our flesh, and allowing for space for the Spirit to to be there and fill, you know, not dying to ourselves and being more like Christ. That just gives room for that. And so if that becomes a normal part of our life, then, you know, I would believe that slowly our unbelief would
be mitigated.
Yeah, slowly. And then we would, you know, it wouldn't just be the sore knees that we'd be laying hands for. It would be things that maybe before we didn't think we had enough belief to do, but because we've starved our flesh and let Christ take over. Yeah, so that it blew my mind.
Awesome. Awesome.
The Holy Spirit room.
Very, very good. So I loved it, you know, because I had come across that same revelation a while ago. And when Amy came and shared that, I was like, yes, Lord, you're speaking to other people. And, you know, Amy was so excited. She's like, as she said, game changer. Guys, I want to ask, and I don't want to show hands. Don't make eye contact with anyone because I don't want you to give away anything. But how many of us are in a lifestyle of fasting? Praise the Lord. But are you with me? Because it's like, I remember I had asked, there, I'd been a part of this forum where somebody had asked, and I'm so glad they didn't ask me, but they asked this other guy, they said, you know, the Bible speaks of prayer and fasting. How's your prayer and fasting going? And they turned to this pastor, and he's like, the prayer's going great. You know? And I was like, boom, you know? So specifically, fasting, specifically, for not just direction, but for unbelief. Now, here's the thing. Does that make sense to you? Well, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't really make sense to me, but the Bible says it.
Just a little something I want to say is that I find if I don't eat before I work and for a massage and heal, I have a much better outcome than if I've had something to eat.
And I think that the idea of fasting, guys, and maybe this is something that we need to talk about, is it, as you know, Amy so you know aptly pointed out, it's starving the flesh. And I'll tell you what, you know, I know Rob's had a lot of breakthrough with fasting, and he's done much longer fasts than I have. I'd encourage you to chat with Rob if you really want to sort of start to have some breakthrough on this and start to want to step out. One of the things that I found is I've done a couple multi-day fasts, and after about 24 hours, it's like you're kind of good. It's like there's this season of just really having to kind of starve off the flesh. And once you get to a certain point, man, and then the revelation starts coming. Yeah.
And the prayer, imagine if every day all of us prayed to God that we start to see healing, that he start working through us and talk to us about healing.
Yeah, that's another one. And I remember one of the things that I do is as I pray and meditate, I think about certain situations that might happen in church. And one of them was is, you know, well, what if someone had maybe a I'm not going to go there right now. I just think that the idea of praying and waiting and actually visiting those situations. We had come along as a family. We were going over to the coast one time. And we had come across somebody who was running down the road, like waving people down. And I was like, what? And this basically, we came around this hairpin turner, and there was this car upside down, just had happened, like the wheels were still spinning type deal. And we run in, and there was this young gal in her seatbelt, upside down, completely out, like upside, and there's like blood, like kind of coming off her, and her arm was just kind of twitching in this way, you know. And I'll tell you the truth, this was many years ago, on the way to the Coromandel, and my heart was seized with fear and panic. Are you with me? The horse had bolted. And I remember all I could, and I'm sharing some of my defeats with you guys. All I could do was help the police. You know, like they gave me like a road flare and a sign. I'm like, do I have clearance to do this? You know, and they sent me down the road. And it was like, but I'm like, man, I just, like, I froze. And somebody who came up behind us, it was like an off-duty nurse, and jumped in and really took control of the situation. And from what we heard, the gal was actually pretty okay. You know, but the helicopter came and everything, and it was just... But guys, I remember after that, I always thought to myself, every once in a while, I'll kind of think about that, and I'll give myself a little bit of a, you know, what would I do in that situation again? So I'm not surprised by it. Are you with me? It's kind of like sanctified imagination. Like, I don't want to be surprised by it. If that happens, I want to be ready. And guys, let me speak to you right now, okay? You don't just need to think about what you'd do if somebody tried to jump you on the street, because I know y'all go there. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, and I'd be like, ugh, and then I'd be, you know. Okay, let's think about what we'd do if we face a situation like healing or whatever instead. Sanctified imagination. Yes.
It's time. I was healed here in church about 4 weeks ago, 4 Sundays, so it's just really, really recent. And I was just down the back about where Kevin is and just in normal praise and worship time. And zap. And it was in my back, and I had this warm, hot, hot feeling. And I know whenever God zaps me, it's always with this really hot, hot, tingly sort of feeling. And it was right there where my back was really bad, really, really sore and really bad. And I didn't really think terribly much about it at the time, but then afterwards, as the day went on, I thought, wow, you know, my back, it's sort of, you know, this, this and this. I knew God had visited me. I knew that definitely because of the warm sensation and the tingly feelings. Anyway, that night on Rema, Radio Rema, they had a talkback show on healing. And so I thought the best thing to do is to act on the healing that had taken place.
Yeah.
Because Satan and our enemy, you know, roaring lion, but he's a squeaky, stupid little mouse, He would have just straight away, like, oh, no, you didn't. You know, don't be so ridiculous. You know, you haven't been healed. That was all in your imagination, you know. So I rang them, and I was the first one. I was the first one in. And I rang them, and they said, share your experience. So I did, and I said, it happened just today in church during worship.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really, really, really important thing, that as we worship and give over to God and as we are just lost in his presence, God can do anything,
yeah.
And he can heal you in that situation. And so then to the next point that you guys mentioned was about sometimes it's not altogether healed. And so I've experienced that as well. And so I have applied some of the anti-flam and just, you know, sort of given it a bit of a rub, but because sort of little bits of it sort of come back again. But I think it's probably a 95% healing. And it's cool. It's great.
Amen.
You know,
praise
so that was, yeah, my little story.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had to run the radio. Amen. Just confirmed inside me of what had actually happened. You know,
and it's during worship. We so often see that. That it's just sort of spontaneously during worship, we'll have people delivered from fears and anxieties. We'll have people delivered from sort of broken hearts, but also we've seen a lot of healing during worship. I cannot reiterate enough what Eileen said about sort of stepping out. Some of you were here when my hip got healed, and that hip issue was a degenerative, significant, life-changing issue that was happening in my life. And when I got healed of that, I remember the Lord told me, you need to walk in this. I'm like, Lord, I can't even walk anymore. And I remember I knew it was, so I'd gone out surfing a couple times, and I was like, wow, this feels pretty good. Then it was like I stepped it up a bit. I went out mountain biking, and I'm like, oh, this feels all right. But I knew the last thing that I needed to really try this out on was going hunting. And I knew it. We went hunting at this usual place we go, and we went about 15 Ks back in. And I'm like, we're going to get something. I know we're going to get something. And sure enough, Owen shot this huge doe. And he's like, I want to take all the meat, Dad. You know? And I'm like, a couple back steaks will be good. You know? And he's like, we're taking all of it. And I probably had about 15 Ks of meat in my bag. And I knew the guy who was supposed to pick us up at the edge of his farm, I knew he wasn't going to be there. Because the Lord's like, we're really going to test this leg out. Sure enough, Owen and I, we waited for about an hour, I think, and it was kind of raining, and he's like, I'm getting cold. Guy didn't show up. Oh, Jim Tahi. I was so upset, man. And so we had to hike about another 5 or 6 Ks out, and man, I was shattered. My legs were so tired, my hip was golden. And that was probably a year and a half ago. And I've been thrashing it since then. So I agree. Sometimes, you know, and when I left here, the day I got healed, I felt about 70% better. But I continued to pray and I continued to believe. And this was a degenerative issue, which, yeah, was significant. So look, today, I think what we're going to do is we're going to leave it there. Do you have any sort of closing comments or anything you want to sort of?
I just want to encourage people to ask if anybody needs any healing. You know, like when we ask others.
Yeah, talk about what we were just doing the other day.
Yeah, so we talked about prophecy, you know, and how we'll wait on God. So I believe it can be that simple for healing, like for us to step out and get used to it. You know, maybe there can be times when Scott says, does anybody need any healing? Put your hand up. We can keep the lights down low. Go over to the person. Pray with them. Ask them what the issue is, if it's an appropriate place that we lay hands on them. You might want to rebuke the illness like a lot of leaders do, but if you're not comfortable with that, then just talk to Jesus and ask that he brings healing. Mm. Mm. And I think it's just that simple, just to add that to prophecy, you know, let's start healing people. Yeah.
It's really cool to see how natural prophecy has become to us as a congregation. How I think the vast majority of us, we believe that God's going to use us in that way as we step out. But, you know, Nikki had made the point, she goes, I want to get there with healing.
And I think God speaks to us when we're healed as well.
Yeah.
I think he gives us pictures and words, and we really need to hand those on, because sometimes that is a key to healing for somebody.
So
it's an emotional thing that they need to deal with,
So, look, what I would suggest today is, why don't we just get the worship team back up here? And it's been a late night and a long day, I'm sure, for many of you. But we don't want to skate past this. You guys know my heart on these things. I don't want to miss the opportunities. I've had, and I want to reiterate this, the healings that I've had in this church are not just like, ooh, my headache feels better. I've had some of those, praise the Lord, and those are good. But I've had a couple of them that were destiny changing. And I'm thankful for those. And I want more people to have those. You know, some of them have been done by people who have well-known mantles in that area. Others are from my brothers and sisters, just people sitting next to me within the congregation. So, look, let's maybe take the opportunity today as we feel like the Lord's sort of giving us maybe a little bit of leading. Let me ask a question. How many of you have... I'm going to be nicer than usual this morning. I'm going to be nicer than usual. Do we feel like... Just give me a round of applause. Do we want to step out in this a little bit this morning? Or are we still digesting it a little bit? Okay, let's try again. How many of us want to give a little bit of a... Yeah? All right, I'll take that as a yes. Okay, so flick the lights down, Kevin. We'll just give a little bit of privacy, a little bit of atmosphere to where we're at. I just want to take the opportunity. If you feel like you have an issue or you have something that needs to be healed, during worship, you're going to need to turn to someone around you. There's going to have to be a step of faith. You're going to need to turn to someone around you. And as you do, just ask them to pray for you. Ask him to pray for you. It's as simple as that. And one of the things that I often do and that I like to do when I'm praying for people is I ask them, I say, hey, does that feel any better? Now, remember, oftentimes the healing process begins and then we need to walk in it by faith. Amen? Amen. I have equated healing with salvation. I believe the Bible equates healing with salvation. There's a similarity between a lot of them. I got saved definitively when I was 18 years old. But I had to walk in that salvation for a season before I actually believed in my heart that I was saved. Does that make sense? And oftentimes with the healing, God starts the work and then I have to walk in it. I don't know why that is. So often it's the case. So this morning, we're gonna, no pressure. There's a freedom to step out in this, but I believe that God wants to heal some people today. So let's step out and see what he's going to do. Amen? Cool.